It is Labor Day weekend, and I tend to want to preach on work today. But, you know, you've got the day off, so I thought I'm going to have a hard time not talking about work at all and just talking about rest. So forgive me for trying to do a little of both. When I entered ministry, you know, over 25 years ago, they really stressed with us the work-life balance. I mean, they stressed it. You've got to have work. You've got to have life. You've got to have balance. My husband taught me the way that he did ministry was 4 hours to him was a module. And a module could be like 8 to noon or 1 to 5 or 6 to 10. And he tried to do about 10 or 14 of those a week and tried to have some time of rest. Today it is very different, and I'm so thankful that we have a bishop and district superintendents that ask their pastors not just what do you do on your day off, but they say what are you doing on your Sabbath day. I can't tell you how huge that is. For all my life I thought I could only have one day off a week and to be given 2 days, one to do housework and one to just rest and refuel and recreate. It was wonderful. In 2011, the workplace in the United States was at an all-time low. Some of us remember those days. People wanted more than from their jobs than just a paycheck. They didn't just want a paycheck. Forbes magazine was quoted as saying, if the U.S. economy is ever going to rebound, it'll be because people become more satisfied with their work. I will never forget, I went to a global leadership summit and heard all these famous speakers, and this kid came up. I mean, he was a kid. I don't think he was 25 years old, and he had gone on a mission trip with his sister, and he was realizing how many people in the world didn't have a decent pair of shoes. He came back to this country and got a team around him, and they made shoes for everybody in the world. You know them as Tom's Shoes. And the great thing about Tom's Shoes is when you buy a pair of shoes from Tom, you buy another pair for someone in a third world country. That's the younger generation, people. They want their money to go towards something more than just what they're paying for. And this isn't a commercial, but I love Walgreens. If you get a vaccination or a shot, somebody in a third world country gets one too. I was on the board of a community health and wellness, and I said, you guys, we have got to start multiplying everything we're doing here. And I said, why don't we, every shot people give, we give a shot away. And, you know, they voted that down. But you know what? I took heart because I knew the seed had been planted, and I knew that one day community health and wellness would be reaching way beyond just our local clients. I was excited about that at that convention to meet such an inspiring young man. We have gone from wanting quantity to quality. Some of you may have had parents that quantity was huge. You know, you had to, my dad was in Mylar with DuPont, and you had to make X amount of Mylar. You just had to, you know, make that quantity. Focused more on that than quality, I think. I found a story in my study preparation. There was a farm boy who for Christmas one year got a white football. He was so excited. He was outside playing in the yard, and his football, his white, large, oval-shaped football, actually became on the neighbor's yard. Well, the rooster next door saw it and says, I don't believe it. He called the hens around and says, I don't mean to complain to you guys, but look what the neighbors are kicking out. I thought that was so funny. Some of you took a while to get it, didn't you? I could tell. That's okay. That's okay. In 2013, the theology of work went from WLB, work-life balance, to WRR, work-rest ratio. I cannot tell you how transformational that was in pastoral leadership, in our preaching, in our teaching, and it just basically goes back to the beginning. I'll never forget one woman on the team, and I'm going to quote her verbatim. Her name was Christy Tennant Crispin. Where does work life begin? For me, they're all interwoven, one thread supporting the other. I don't think they were meant to be, though. What if our growing work-life balance began when we as a culture stopped giving proper consideration to the work-rest ratio? Hear me. This is from Christy. What if our growing work-life balance began when we as a culture stopped giving proper consideration to the work-rest ratio? That is such an integral component of our design as humans, made in the image of God. She continues to say, I believe the key to what we are seeking in search is not a work-life balance, but the good old-fashioned work-rest ratio handed down to us from our Creator. Who knew that on the seventh day, we were not simply to start working, but we were to start resting the way God wanted us to rest? Isn't that beautiful? Are you hearing this morning? This was just so new to me years ago. For the next just few minutes, I want to focus on what is the Sabbath, what is the Sabbath, when is the Sabbath, why in the Sabbath, and how is the Sabbath. Now, if I say something, you think, well, that's not really what, that's why, or if that's not really how, that's, you know, when, well, just be at peace. I lost my printer this morning at the Parsonage. We ran out of ink, and so I had to write real quickly my final draft, and so that's what's coming right now. What is the Sabbath? When is the Sabbath? Why don't we worship on the seventh day of the week the way the Jewish and the Muslim and the Seventh Adventists do? Why do we worship on Sunday? We worship on Sunday in celebration of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. That is what the Church of Jesus Christ has always done. Earlier this morning, Debbie read one of the Ten Commandments. The first four, they're all vertical. They're all about our relationship with God. The rest of the six are all about our relationships with one another. But this morning, we're just going to focus on Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Work 6 days and take a day off. So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. When is the Sabbath? The Hebrew verb, sabbat, means to stop, to cease, or to keep. So when we read about that God rested on the seventh day, it's, children, it's not because God was tired. God never tires. God never sleeps. God ceased his labor. He was so thrilled with what he had accomplished in his creation. He just rested. He stopped doing that. He kept the Sabbath. To remember the Sabbath meant that the Jews identified that there are 7 days in a week. The rhythm of life, all belonging to God. The rhythm of work and rest. Keep us dependent on God, our Creator. I will never forget, Frank, do you remember Sister Smith, Pauline Smith? Frank was a young minister. He'd had a bachelor church. This was his first church with a married woman. I was with him then. And we went to lunch. Sister Pauline, she came over on the ark, loved Jesus, the most holy person I've ever known. She had invited us to her house for lunch. When we got there, everything was ready. I mean, everything was ready. And we had a lovely lunch with her and her husband. They were so funny. When we were there, for the very first time in their life, they went to McDonald's. They had never eaten out or been to a McDonald's. It was such a hoot to hear them. We thought, McDonald's has been around for 50 years. Where you been? But anyway, so after dinner, I was just a young wife, but not too old of a Christian. And I'll never forget what she did after dinner, after lunch. She took a tablecloth and she put it over the dishes, the dirty dishes. That's what she did. Now, I love to set a beautiful table. I can't cook, Frank cooks, but I love to set a pretty table. But I can confess, I've never put a tablecloth over the dirty dishes. She said, oh, those dishes can wait till tomorrow. This is my Sabbath day. I mean, you talk about a powerful witness to a young preacher's wife. I've never forgotten that about Pauline. And she would eventually become a preacher herself, wouldn't she, Frank? Pauline would eventually become a preacher herself. She was so awesome. Why do we honor the Sabbath? For the pious Jews, it was a mitzvah. It was a duty before God. In fact, if you did not observe the Sabbath, you were risking being the death penalty on you. That was how serious keeping the Sabbath was. When your boss says you take the day off, what do? Tell me, when your boss gives you the day off, what do you do? Someone say something. What? Bake? Oh, you take it. Okay. Well, you take it, you run away, you don't look back. Okay. When our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, says, cease your labor, take a day of rest, what do you do? What'd you say? Okay, there you go. Oh. Work in the yard. Okay, different things we do. Come to church. Amen. 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 The next one is, how do we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? For me, that has always been difficult. Tyler was out in Bath, Indiana, doing some work the other day, and he texted me and showed me a picture of the chapel we live in and said, hi, guess where I'm at? You know, I'm in the neighborhood. He's in the neighborhood. Mr. Rogers was in the neighborhood. I said, well, I'm here till midnight because the sermon isn't doing very good. I'm working. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm preaching on a sermon I don't practice very well. So I have to be honest. The how do we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? It's hard for me. I remember so fondly, I had a professor in seminary. He was a Jewish rabbi, Dr. Eric Friedland. And he was teaching us all the Jewish customs, and I didn't know any of them. They were beautiful. He talked about how the women would set their timers to turn on their lights the Sabbath day so they didn't have to work at turning on the lights or turning them off. Their timers did their crock pots, turned them on and turned them off. And it was just so beautiful to hear him. I loved him so much. I'm surprised Frank didn't think I had a crush on him. I talked about him all the time. I just loved him. In fact, I was so impressed with Dr. Friedland. Our son has always been very impressed by his teachers. I don't know what other kids talk about when they come home at dinner table, but John would always say, oh, Mr. Mason, he had us right in the palm of his hand. Or, oh, this person, they crashed and burned. They didn't do it very well. He's very impressed by teachers. So he went with me one evening to hear Dr. Friedland lecture. And on his way home, this is what he said to me. Wow, what an awesome prof, Mom. How he loves you students. What was more important to Dr. Friedland was not the material he was teaching, but the people he was teaching to. And our son caught that. And I'm so glad he caught that. Our son would like to be president of a university one day. I'm glad for the opportunities God has given him toward that. The last thing my Jewish professor ever said to me, before we could finish the course, we had to meet with him one-on-one. And I thought, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. Couldn't spell all those words, mitzvah and everything. And so we just shared and we just got to know each other a little better. And this was the last words he ever said to me. Kim, I am so glad God made himself known to you in Jesus. Phew. Out of all the things he taught, out of all the things he said and did, his genuine joy that God had made himself known to me in his son, Jesus the Christ. That was a holy moment for me. One of those things I could actually needlepoint one day. When we remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, we don't treat the Sabbath day like the other 6 days of the week, do we? At least we try not to. It is a day set aside to worship, to rest, a time for God to recreate in us. We need to chill. We need to rest. When Jesus walked this earth, he was criticized about the choices that he made on the Sabbath day. There were questions like, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to lead an ox or a donkey to water? Is it lawful to rescue a child who fell into a well on the Sabbath? These questions. Jesus was criticized for healing a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. He was criticized for healing a crippled woman on the Sabbath day. He was criticized for healing a man with dropsy on a Sabbath day. He was criticized for healing the man that had sat by the pool for so many decades. He was criticized for healing a young man who was born blind, and he did that on a Sabbath day. Even Jesus' disciples were criticized for picking grain to eat on a Sabbath day. Friends, the Sabbath day was made for humankind. Humankind was not made for the Sabbath. the Son of Man is the Lord of our Sabbath. Amen? Amen. When we choose to rest, we find that our rest is in Him, the Creator of the universe, the one who ceased to work after He had made all that we would ever need. And we rest in Him. We rest with Him. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I was raised in a family. My mother was not athletic, not really. My dad was a star basketball player, went to the state championship. He was pretty tall, that's probably why. In Europe, we played soccer and we skied and we golfed a little bit. And so that's what I knew. I knew that you want a goal when you're playing soccer. You want a hole in one when you're golfing. When you're skiing, you don't want to knock down the poles. You want to ski between them. I just knew about those. Basketball, you wanted 2 points. You wanted to make the basket. I don't think in my day there was even a three-point system yet, was there? I don't know when that came in, but I don't think it came in my day. So our son decides he's going to wrestle. I knew absolutely nothing about wrestling. I mean, nothing. I'm on the sidelines. I'm up in the stands, and our son is out there in this circle for the very first time, and I'm thinking, what do I yell to cheer him on? I didn't know, how do you yell for a wrestler? You know, I knew how to cheer for basketball and football and baseball, and so I just yelled, "Remember, Jonathan, remember!" And I felt so pleased with my cheer, because I cheered my heart. I cheered my heart. After he had hurt the guy by making him lay so flat he couldn't get up, the ref stopped the game and they both stood up and they held up Jonathan's arm. Later in that meet, they call it, it's called a meet, not a game, it's a meet, Jonathan came up in the stands and said, "Mother, my coach and the entire wrestling team want to ask you, what am I supposed to remember?" And I said, "Jonathan, honey, don't be silly. I want you to remember everything your coach taught you." I would eventually learn that the game was called a match, that a win was called a pin, but my favorite cheer for my favorite wrestler for the 2 years he wrestled was, "Remember, Jonathan, remember." And you know what? To our surprise, he won Most Valuable Player both years. And I'm choosing to believe that it's because he had a mother on the sidelines that encouraged him to remember everything that his coach had taught him. He had good wrestling coaches. God says to us, remember, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God, your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien that lives within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We live in an old chapel that used to be a chapel, and it's been closed for almost 10 years. And somehow, those crickets on the outside have found their way in. They are so noisy that at night I turn on the fan just so I don't have to listen to them making cricket noises. So with that in mind, at this time, the praise team's going to come and sing a beautiful song where even crickets are welcome.